Christine, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Our absolute pleasure to get you back, Christine. Now, looking at this new development is rather intriguing to me. This streaming service, as I said, claims it will allow people to experience space travel without physically having to do anything, really, without leaving the couch. How is it supposedly going to work?
Well, I think isn't it amazing how much the mobile phone has actually converged to move beyond just a simple phone call and allow us to do a whole range of things? And I think this disembodied experience in outer space certainly takes the cake for the most converged mobile phone experience to date. Let me just say that for a start. And so I think it's going to work through like a kind of like an augmented reality thing where it will put like a layer of technology over the top of our experiences. And like, you know, we'll get to actually feel like we are in space. The way it can create like a layer over the real world of the digital world, and we can sort of zoom through that into the stratosphere. I just really find this amazing, an amazing convergence of different functionalities, though. I'm particularly happy about this one.
Oh, yeah, it astounds me how much the technology has actually evolved. I mean, even when we talk about lunar travel, I think it was something like, 60 years from the time a man first took flight in aeroplanes to landing a man on the moon. And then, as you say, with mobile technology, I still remember the old Nokia brick I had at 18 years old, and thinking about how much that technology has changed in such a short course of time is really astounding.
Yeah, isn't it just? And I think it's a wonderful... It's a wonderful concept to have, you know, and just the fact that we could have connectivity. I hope we don't have any black spots after that in our own neighbourhood, so we can't get mobile reception. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it'd be a bit lousy.
I'll be quite annoyed if I still can't get our reception down the coast.
It'd be a bit disappointing if you weren't able to watch it because you don't have the NBN yet, sort of thing.
Exactly.
So what will this service actually allow viewers to see? What is the plan for this actual event?
Well, look, from what we can gather, they'll be able to sort of experience what astronauts would be experiencing. I think that it's a unique coupling of technology. I have concerns, as I do with a lot of technology, because it does tend to fail rather often. And I think that's a problem that when we get too utopian about technology, we do tend to forget that the reality of many of our experiences, in fact, most of our experiences with technology, is that, you know, we can't get onto the Wi-Fi, or you know, the network connection drops out. So I am wondering what the actual reality of the Space Galactic Mobile Facilitated Experience will really be like, and if it will be as good as promised.
And just talking about some more of the technology that is actually involved, the Berlin-based team, Part-Time Scientists, they're the company behind this 2019 mission. And obviously, we mentioned SpaceX there, and we've seen these kind of strides that Elon Musk has been making, and that's kind of inspired a great deal of people. Now, this is 50 years after the first lunar landing. The first privately funded lunar landing is actually going to take place. Why are we seeing such extraordinary strides right now in private space travel?
Well, you know what? I guess it is the last frontier, and by very nature, humans are quite adventurous beings, and I think the fact that it would be limited to just kind of government endorsed space bodies is, you know, going sort of limiting those who want to, you know, just get out there and explore the world and beyond that we live in. So I think it's a very intrinsic part of human nature to want to do so. But and I also think giving that experience, that first-hand point of view experience, as you know, they touch down and you know, start, you know, going into these new frontiers, is an incredibly exciting thing to be able to use technology to do. I think it's a great use of technology, something to get excited about as opposed to just another app. You know, it's a really cool, really exciting thing. Like, who doesn't love, you know, adventure? Who doesn't love space? So, and there's obviously elements of danger there as well. I mean, you know, these things are often fraught with danger. So, I mean, it's going to be gripping viewing.
And just perhaps as a final point, I mean, you touched on before, sometimes we can get a little bit utopian about these developments in technology. There is danger involved. There is possible setbacks that may be involved in this mission and such as well. Even with Elon Musk, he's been criticized by some recently. I know NASA as a government agency has kind of a non-interference policy with their satellites and with the kind of studies that they sent out to various planets and the like. But with somebody like Elon Musk, he's shot a Tesla Roadster up into the sky and it's just going to float out there essentially forever. Yeah, playing David Bowie. So with some of these things, people have criticized the fact that we are perhaps littering the cosmos with some of our space junk. And I think this mission landing on the moon as well is probably going to bring up some of those criticisms. What would you make of those, that kind of non-interference idea?
Well, I mean, we are, I mean, just look at Mount Everest, you know, littered with, you know, empty oxygen bottles and things like that. And I think sometimes in a, what do they call it, summit fever, when people are so pushed to get to the summit that they lose all sense of reason. I hope we don't get like space fever when we get so pushed to capture the experiences of outer space that we fail to, you know, act like good citizens of our planet and clean up after ourselves. But of course, it's notoriously difficult. How does one clean up outer space? I think we need to, if we're able to put things out there, we probably need to be able to safely retrieve them. Or we do need to be responsible for our junk. And, you know, while it might seem like a small splash in the ocean, now the reality of it is, you know, we are sending out just endless amounts of human stuff into outer space, and that's, you know, just rude as planetary citizens. But the other thing that was struck me was, I remember being a little girl when the space shuttle exploded and watching it on live television. And, you know, it was really quite a traumatic moment. I was living in the States at the time, and I'll never forget, you know, watching it explode on live TV. And I hope we don't have a repeat of everyone watching a lunar landing only to find it, you know, going horribly, horribly wrong. Because it is, even in today's age of, you know, excessive violence on television and, you know, shock TV, it would be a shocking thing for people to see.
And
there is the possibility, you know, whenever something as dangerous as that happens. And yeah, just thinking back to the shuttle exploding, that really was like, wow, that was a full-on moment.
I think it's one of those moments. This will certainly, and hopefully for good, not for bad, be one of those moments that kind of does unite people in a single moment. So it does sound very exciting from that perspective. And as you rightly point out there, perhaps a little bit concerning.
But you know, make a beautiful point. I think anything that reminds us that we are all kind of one planet and one people is a really good and positive thing. And I think it's something in outer space that allows us to reflect back on our Earth as just, you know, a single entity is actually probably just what we need right now. So that's a really nice sentiment.
Absolutely. Christine, thank you very much. Really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.